Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery. Hi everyone, I'm rounding off these mini solo episode series with a final discussion on the rise of the modern witch and healing our witch wounds in order to claim what being a witch means to you. And I've been reflecting a lot about what being a witch means since episode one of season two, where I interviewed Emma Griffin. She spoke to me about being a witch and what it means to her. She was really open about it. And since that episode, I've been thinking more and more about how during that episode, I felt my throat chakra closing as I was so afraid to just claim and speak out about how I really felt about probably deep down my whole life, I've been a witch. And you can also listen back to that episode at the start of season two and just notice you can probably hear how shaky my voice was, how afraid I was to want to identify with something like being a witch. And it definitely inspired me to really sit and feel into what being a witch means to me. So it's taken me some time to record this episode, but now I know it's the right time. And I believe as women in particular, there is a real witch wound that has suppressed us since the burning times. We're still healing from that wound. But since so many of us are starting to call back the power of our ancestors and the term witch, it's moving again into the mainstream. But I feel, for me, it's also now time to speak out about claiming back my own calling to identify as a witch and really own it with no shame attached. So here I am. I'm claiming it. I am a witch. And we've become so used to this negative stereotype that describes witches with wigs and false teeth and green faces, howling over dead animals, you name it. It's been in the media. It's been, part of our life growing up. And, you know, now that day-to-day business of what being a witch has continued to evolve into something more modern. But also the history of witchcraft has also suffered from unreliable narrators and sources, which are usually have been men. And that has meant that witchcraft has been covered up and hidden. And even like with the Salem witch trials, for example, we've heard stories of suffering and the witch hunts, particularly for women. There was also men involved, but yet there's not really been any official court records that exist. So you can just sense that there's this suppression and burying of history, and the accounts of the trials that did survive are also inconsistent. So I just wanted to sort of mention that this history is so buried. So there's probably some people listening to this episode as well. And then, you know, just notice as I'm speaking about this, is your throat clenching? Or do you hold any tension in your body? Because that's how I felt when I was speaking to Emma so openly in season two, episode one. And I've just been sitting with that and sort of reconciling what that means for me in my own physical body right now. And I think I've also been so resistant to own the term witch until now, because also everyone is calling themselves a witch these days, which is also beautiful. And, you know, me and Emma speak more about this in the episode, that it's so fantastic that there is this claim of witch. But I really just wanted to, like, I think I'm also so conscious within this space around how much appropriation is happening within spirituality. There's a lot of things hitting the mainstream. And, you know, you can even buy your crystals and Palo Santo now from Urban Outfitters these days. And, you know, where I do think that's so wonderful that we have this broadening awareness and perspective that's finally starting to shift, there's also so much sensitivity and understanding that we should all have when it comes to, you know, like where we source our materials from and where these traditions are coming from. And what I believe is that we should use everything with intention for these practices. So it's not to say that you shouldn't buy your crystals from Urban Outfitters, but, you know, maybe check where they're sourced from. But, you know, if your crystal is just lying on your coffee table, that's fine, but it's not being used with intention. So I really wanted to sit with everything before claiming something and just putting it out there of what being a witch really means to me. So being a witch for me is finding myself with this term witch. It's taking all of the different elements from different practices and finding what works and feels good for me. So I also feel like with Emma Griffin, she mentioned she was an eclectic witch. So being an eclectic witch is taking lots of different elements from different traditions, so whether that's paganism or Wiccan, and just finding what works. So I also feel like identifying with being an eclectic witch works really well. And there are some things that resonate more for me than others within my daily practice, which I'm going to share as well. And even just being a witch, for me, goes back to when I was born. I was born on Halloween. So the 31st of October, 1990. And I guess just being a witch was just there from the beginning, literally since I was born. And as I mentioned in the episode with Emma, I kind of shied away from that. Or at the beginning when I was a kid, I just really loved celebrating Halloween. My whole family would get involved. We would go trick-or-treating. We would dress up and it was really fun. And then I don't know what happened, really. I think I just sort of wanted to back away from it for whatever reason. And also, I think there was this feeling of not wanting to own being born on Halloween. And for some reason, I wanted to suppress that side of me. And I don't know why. But I've been exploring and diving a little bit deeper into that recently. And I do have a feeling why, actually. And this is just a feeling that I have. And I do want to do some work on past life regression. But what I've been beginning to see over the last year is something I'm going to share with you. It's deeply personal, but I think it's important to share. So I interviewed Athena Bailey as part of season 2 as well. And last summer, I enrolled on one of Athena Bailey's channeling courses where she did all sorts of workshops. And one of the workshops was actually sensing into past lives. And we did this ourselves. So I did this at home, actually. And I've only shared this with a few people, but I feel like this is meant to be shared now. So as part of that past life regression kind of workshop that we did, I actually saw this lady for the first time. It's very, also when I say I'm seeing things, I think this is also important to clarify. For me, when I'm seeing things, it's still very hazy. It's not like a full, like full-blown vision that you see in, you know, the TV shows. It's like, there's a sense, there's a knowing there, and it's a sense in my body. I have like signs of shivers. That's kind of a confirmation sign for me that I've been working with. And what I saw, by the way, as I'm recording this, I'm getting full body shivers. Oh my God. So what I was seeing from this activation with Athena Bailey as part of a workshop was this lady who was running away. And she was explaining that it was around this time of the burning time. So I actually saw this woman. And then it was after that Athena confirmed that she'd seen this. So I hadn't shared it with anyone, what I was seeing. And then Athena confirmed that this is also what had come through in the session. And it was this lady running. And that's all I saw. I just saw that. It was a lady. She had a ponytail, brown hair. And she was running away. That's all I saw. And that happened last summer. And then I just sort of had it in the back of my mind, but I wasn't really attaching anything to it. And I was just, again, just sitting with everything that I've been learning and absorbing from the season 2 of the podcast and all the wisdom that has been shared with me. And then it was actually very recently that I've enrolled on a psychic development course. And as part of that course, actually, it wasn't anything to do with past life regression, but I was particularly activated as part of one session. We were really tuning into our third eye. This is also after my Kundalini awakening that's just recently happened as well. And it was when I went to bed after this psychic activation, I was feeling still very open. We'd closed down the session and everything felt quite safe, but I was, I think, still kind of subconsciously in receiving mode. And I had a dream, actually. It was part of my dream. I was just drifting off after this, one of the sessions from the course on psychic activation. And I just had a dream that it was the same woman that I'd saw as part of the course of Athena Bailey. I hadn't seen her since. So this was a year on, or about 6 months on, actually. And this woman came back in my dream. And this time I saw a little boy who was part of the dream. And she has been chased, essentially, that she found out that people found out that she was a witch. And her boy was screaming and telling her not to go, telling her not to run away from being a witch. But from what I can tell, I'm getting really deeply sad about this, actually. It's the first time I've actually vocalized this. She started to run away from her boy, from her child. And I'm not going to edit this out because this is just pure emotion running through. And I think this is why I've been so suppressed my life. And I think this is maybe why I was coming back to be born on Halloween, to claim back being a witch. Because it's been suppressed through my life, in my past life. By the way, this is really not planned. This is just pure energy moving through. And I've really waited to record this, and I didn't plan on claiming being a witch. But I feel like now it's the right time. Ah, and clearly it is. Wow, I've just really moved through some stuff on this episode, Jez. Ooh, I didn't expect this at all. I feel like this is just uncovering my truth, you know, and actually vocalizing this for the first time. It feels really true. And I think this is also the thing. I've been so scared about speaking up and unblocking a lot of this past, because I think we can go into such doubt around what we see and what we feel, especially as women. And we want to cover that up because we're afraid that someone's going to tell us it's not true and to not speak our truth. But what I feel is that this is true for me, and this is what has happened in a past life. And I don't have all the details, but I feel that there's something there that has been suppressed in the past, that has been buried, and that I was a witch in a past life who was scared and ran away. And let's see what happens in, you know, uncovering this maybe some more. I would really like to go to past life regressionist. I've been looking at finding someone, but I haven't found the right person yet. And I've also been, you know, just sort of moving through this in my own way, and uncovering these past life experiences just as part of opening up my third eye and just seeing and being open to what comes through and not rushing anything, not forcing anything. I still can't believe I just cried. That was really surreal. So anyways, if you're still listening to this episode and you haven't switched it off yet, thank you for staying and just being there for me as I just cried naturally. It really wasn't expected. Anyways, so wow, I feel like this is more important to share than I initially planned. I think there's a real witch wound, and I think that this is so important for us to share and for us to dive into as women in particular, and to really uncover our past and just to find what feels resonant for us. And, you know, maybe being a witch doesn't resonate for you, but I feel like there's so many of us that have this suppressed past life and trauma from the burning times. And as women, it's really time for us to kind of call that back and claim that back. And yeah, just like shapeshift some of that fear around the word witch, and what that signifies now should be around strength and claiming back our power as wise women, and also supporting other women and being open-hearted. That's what being a witch means to me. and like using these practice with intention of calling back, just, yeah, our own power with intention and all for our highest good, all for our highest purpose. So every time I'm working with, you know, some of my intention-led practices, it's all for highest good for myself and never projecting anything onto anyone else. And that's what being a witch means to me. And yeah, I just also wanted to share some of the ways that I've been connecting with some of these intention-led practices. So these intention-led practices are something that are deeply personal to me. Maybe you practice with you as well. But also maybe you'd just like to find your own way with being a witch. And I'd really also, invite you to do that. And this is what Emma Griffin also shares when she's talking about what being a witch means to her. These are just some of the practices that I've been working with that harness that connection. So something that I've really connected to recently is, you can also find this on the Patreon subscription as well. I wanted to share this because this has really helped me connect to being a witch. And you can also connect this to pagan traditions, but I'm finding my own way with it, my own spin. This is calling in the elements for protection and guidance. And this is essentially calling in the elements of earth, wind, fire, and water. And I do this now as part of my sessions, my sound healing sessions. I also do this as a little meditation and calling in the elements when I'm reading tarot for someone, for my clients. And this energy that I feel when I'm calling in the elements is a really spiritual part of my practice now. I've also been getting a lot more signs to actually really do that, so really call in the elements and really work with the elements. I've been receiving signs from so many different places. And that, for me, I really feel a presence when I'm calling the elements in. I feel that chill, that sort of shiver that I mentioned, of a presence is here and I'm connected and I'm supported. And I work with that a lot now. And I love this. And that's why I've shared this calling in of the elements for protection as part of the Patreon. So you can actually listen to this and see if it resonates for you. So if you're interested, I'll link the Patreon subscription service in the show notes. And maybe go check that out. And you can come back to this time and time again. And maybe at some point you'll also start to call in the elements for yourself and find what resonates for you. But this has been a huge one for me. And it's given me confidence also because I speak the elements out loud. So I'm not just calling them in with intention through the mind, but actually out loud. And that's been really significantly shifting my energy and my intention. So that's something I use for protection and also to ask for wisdom from the elements. So a big one for me is that. Then I'm also, I think I've always been doing this, but again, it's just like claiming it, you know, now, is that I use various different sprays and also cleansing materials to cleanse my space and also things to call in new energy. So that's a beautiful one that I do every day as part of my little ritual. I also use sound healing as part of my main intention-led connection practice. Sound healing is using vibration and intention for healing. And that's something that I've been working on since my sound healing practitioner training. And that's just been evolving and I'm feeling more energetic connection also as part of doing Reiki training as well this year. So it's just building on things that I've always loved, but actually finding more intention through them, through these practices. And also just magic through manifesting. I think, you know, I've shared this through the podcast, but I feel like manifesting has always been there. But now I find that I've just found my rhythm with it and my own formula for it. And I'm not afraid to manifest anymore. And actually, I think this is also part of that, you know, suppression, is that we feel like we're not worthy enough. And a lot of the time it's that lack mindset of, I don't want to call in things because I've already called in too much. And I believe that we can never call in enough, because if it's part of our purpose and if it's meant to be for our highest good and pure intention from the heart, then manifesting is so powerful. And I believe that's magic. So that's another one for me, that I love to work with is manifesting. And then the tarot is something I've really connected with in the past year in particular. So I was reading for free for friends and taking a few courses. But ultimately, I also feel like with a lot of these practices, it's finding what the tarot means for you. And of course, it's great to understand, you know, the archetypes of the tarot, the history of the tarot. But ultimately, it's that intuition-led practice and finding meaning within the cards for you. So I'd really invite you with the tarot, actually, if you are using the tarot and if you are connecting to it, don't read from the books. You know, you can read from the books, but it's about finding what those cards mean for you and understanding the meanings, but then taking that intuition-led practice. And you'll start to find meaning with the cards for yourself and how you read for others. So just those are some of the ways that I've been working with intention. I have a lot more. I could share a big list, but I thought to also give you some space to just find out what meaning of which means to you. And I just wanted to end this podcast. This was quite an unexpected recording of what came through today, but how fucking powerful. I thank you so much for listening. And I just wanted to send this out to say, find what being a witch means to you. And just have the confidence to heal that witch wound, however that means for you. Maybe you're a witch in a previous lifetime, or maybe you have people that you're connected to that you feel that, you know, they are a witch and they need that little push or, you know, kindness to just explore what being a witch means to them. And as women in particular, let's just love each other more. Let's build up strength around each other. Let's continue building community. Let's connect through these circles and hold space for one another, because our ancestors unfortunately had to go through these trying times. And let's just rebuild that. And from that place of authenticity as well. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that. Let's keep building on what being a witch means to us in a modern way. And let's share that with ourselves and others and continue finding connection to it, because it's so beautiful. All right, guys. With that, I will see you soon for season 3. I hope that will be coming out in a few months' time. In the meantime, I want to continue to build connection through the Patreon. So we're going to be holding regular events and so much more. I'm also recording my own solo episodes every month as part of the Patreon. So you can find out more there. And I hope to see you there. And then if not, I will see you soon for season 3. As always, stay well, stay safe, and I'll see you soon. Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast, the podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to follow us on Instagram to stay connected. And before we close, I'd just like to end with a very special thank you to my co-producer, George Lasbury. Stay well and see you soon.